friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta from Nairobi, Kenya, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off here in Nairobi with athletics, where Kenyan sprint sensation Ferdinand Omanyala on Saturday evening clocked 9.77 seconds to set a new African record in the 100-meter race at the Kipkeino Classic at the Moi International Sports Center, Kasarani. American sprinter Trevon Bromwell won the race in a time of 9.76 seconds ahead of Omanyala's African record, while the 2004 Olympic 100-meter champion Justin Gatlin came in third at 10.02 seconds. Olympic and Diamond League champion Faith Chepngetich from Kenya dominated the women's 1500-meter race, clocking a time of 4 minutes and 2 seconds, followed by her Ethiopian rival Axumawit Embai, who came in second. Another Kenyan world silver medalist Margaret Chelimo took the top honors in the 5,000 meters women's race with a time of 14 minutes and 55 seconds, while her fellow Kenyans Eva Cherono and Lillian Kasait came in second and third respectively. It was also another Kenyan affair in the women's 800 meters, which saw Mary Moraa win the race ahead of Uganda's world champion Halima Nakai, while another Kenyan athlete, Selifin Chespol, won the women's 3,000-meter steeplechase.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. One of the competitors on Saturday at the Kipkeino Classic held at the Moi International Sports Center in Nairobi was Peru Chemutai, Uganda's Olympic champion in the women's steeplechase. After Chemutai won her gold medal in Tokyo, the president of the Uganda Athletics Federation had this special congratulatory message.
So this is a congratulatory message to Peru Chemutai, the golden girl, who has won the first ever Olympic gold medal for Uganda in the female category. She's the first woman to win a gold medal for our country. Peru Chemutai, congratulations. We are proud of you. You have broken the long drought of women Olympic medals for our country. You are an inspiration to many young Ugandan girls and boys. Heroine Peru, from now on, you will be sought out by many. Blessed is the family that raised you. Admirable is Police Athletics Club that employs you. Lucky are the coaches that tutored you. Satisfied is UF that nurtured you. Grateful is your nation, Uganda. May God grant you more future victories. May He grant you long and quality life for God and my country. Amen.
That was Otushet Dominic, the president of the Uganda Athletics Federation. The special congratulatory message to Uganda's Olympic champion in the women's steeplechase, Peru Chemutai. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Nigeria began the defense of her FIBA Women's AfroBasket title on a winning note in Group B. The Tigres defeated Mozambique 67-50 in a group that also includes powerhouse Angola. The championships will be taking place till the 26th of September in Cameroon. Former member of Nigeria's women's national basketball team, who also serves as the head coach of Benue State basketball team, Martina Emmanuel, spoke to reporter Mike Mbonyi about the chances of the Nigerian team in the championship.
My take on the match is that we had a slow start in the first and the second quarter. I believe we suffered this slow start because of the absence of some big-time regulars like Evelyn. Their chemistry with the new girls is not blended yet. They need to improve fast with each game. I pray that they find their rhythms, especially on defense, before meeting teams like Senegal. Our third and fourth quarter came up well because the girls at this point now came up strong. And I believe that with the issue of their skills in the third and fourth quarter, I believe that we have chances in moving forward from now.
As a former member of the Nigerian national team, what's your take or impression about the team's style of play?
I also want to believe that first matches are always like this. You know, you start slow. But despite that, I'm impressed with the statistics, the team statistics. The team statistics is not bad. Having 9 blocks against 0. The turnovers, you know, Nigerian turnovers against Mozambique 25 is not encouraging. We need to overcome our turnovers. I'm happy with the free throw. The free throw 65%, beautiful. The assist is also encouraging, but we need to improve because we really need to improve on the assist, because the assist is, to me, is the back rock of winning. And the rebounds are good, you know, but we need to improve on it. The rebounds, to me, is 43%, not too good because of the absence of our big girls. But I know we can do better than that. The 3 points, I'm encouraged. Having seen them with 33% of the 3 points, I'm really encouraged. 2 points, 51%. I know that my take on this is that we will come up strong at the end of the tournament.
Do you see the Nigerian national team going places in this championship?
Of course, I believe that we are going places even after now, because the mindset of the girls right now is totally different from what they used to have. Now their mindset, you know, is how to honor the country name, how to redeem the country name, how to maintain the country name. So with this mindset, they go tough on the floor, they communicate on the floor. I cherish their style of play. The only difference is the defense is loose, and we need to, you know, make that correction so fast, because if we don't have a strong defense in the pocket and it is easy to break in, we will suffer defeat. But when we straighten our defense, because what they are playing is like a zone help kind of defense. They want to apply zone one-on-one. You see them calling for help and all that. So if this particular style is being maintained and enhanced, because there is a need to enhance it, because at the beginning the defense was loose. When we enhance our defense now, when we communicate on defense, I know that we will skate through this tournament and we will come up to retain our title, because this is not a time to play. This is not time to gamble. It is time to start strong and remain strong and maintain the toughness, because other bigger teams are ahead of us that we need to just clear and take our trophy and begin to come home. So I know that from this first trial of the match, to me it's a first trial, it's like a warm-up match, but from this warm-up match, I know every subsequent matches, watch out for Nigerian Tigers. You will see the toughness they will display. You will see their communication. You will see their speed. You will see their mobility. And I tell you the truth, from this moment we will go places. We are going to retain our title, and you will see us again in the Olympics. This time we will come strong, and the country will be proud of the Tigers.
There was former member of Nigeria's women's national basketball team, who also serves as the head coach of Benue State basketball team, Martina Emmanuel, and he spoke on the telephone with reporter Mike Mbonyi from Makurdi, Nigeria.
V
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Cameroon retained its Women's African Volleyball title after earning a 3-1 hard-fought victory over Kenya to lift the trophy for the third consecutive time. There were worries that the Africa Women's Volleyball Championship could be cancelled after Rwanda allegedly fielded Brazilian players, but the tournament officially concluded without a hitch. Eugene Umiwana has more details from Rwanda's capital, Kigali. Sporty greetings, Eugene.
Sporty greetings, Prince. In a very tight race, Cameroon snatched the trophy from Kenya's hands 3-1. The champions Cameroon won the first two sets, 25-21, 25-23, and Kenya fought back and won the third by 25-15. Wrapping up this continental volleyball event, Cameroon won the fourth set by 25-23. Morocco won the bronze medal and Nigeria finished fourth. Boutcha Hajij, the president of the African Volleyball Confederation, thanked all players for showcasing Africa's talent and giving fans great pleasure. Your performance brought us happiness. Your screams, your tears, your struggle to win made this competition incredible. I wish you a lot of success for what is coming ahead for you. Semi-finals, playoffs, and finals were all played on Sunday as the competition was paused on Thursday following an allegation against the host Rwanda. Nigeria had complained that Rwanda fielded four players from Brazil. Rwanda's Ministry of Sports announced the disqualification of the team. Part of its statement read, following an allegation against the Rwanda Volleyball Federation, the Ministry of Sports has decided to take over the administration of the ongoing Africa Volleyball Championship, which will be completed without the participation of Rwanda's team. The four allegedly ineligible players playing for Rwanda at right attack, Aline Siquiera, center Apolinario Caroline Taina, setter Mariana da Silva, and the left attack Moreira Bianca Gomez. At the closing ceremony of the Men's African Volleyball Championship, Roni Mimosa Muyangaju, the Rwandan Minister of Sports, said she was grateful for the trust other countries had shown in Rwanda's ability to host the competition in the challenging time of COVID-19.
It's an honor for us to have been entrusted by the KVB, represented by its president, Mrs. Boutcha Hajij, to host and organize the KVB Africa Nations Championship.
The Africa Women's Volleyball Championship attracted 9 teams, which competed into groups. Group A, Rwanda, Senegal, Morocco, and Nigeria. Group B, Cameroon, Kenya, Tunisia, Burundi, and DR Congo. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Eugene Uwimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
Thanks, Eugene. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Here in Kenya, one of the big sports stories involved the Football Kenya Federation, which has named Turkish tactician Engin Firat as a new Harambee Stars head coach on a 2-month contract. Firat has previously worked with 18 teams, including Eintracht Frankfurt of Germany and Turkish giants Fenerbahce, where he served as an assistant manager between 2002 and 2003. The trainer will mainly be tasked with helping Kenya secure their first victory in the 2022 World Cup qualifying win after earning draws against Uganda and Rwanda in their first two games. FIDAT's appointment comes after former tactician Jacob Gosmule resigned from the post, citing quote-unquote personal reasons. I spoke to a few Kenyans in the streets of Nairobi, and they expressed varied reactions regarding Mule's resignation.
What's your opinion on the stepping aside of Harambee Stars coach Gosmule?
My opinion is that in Kenya, this changing of coach, it's bringing a lot of confusion to the players. And I think with Kenyans sacking the coach, there's no any change that will happen. Just see the normal Harambee Stars team. I don't think they even qualify for World Cup, because now if they bring another coach in, the lineup changing, it's very difficult for all players to combine and cooperate. So I think it's a very difficult decision. It's a bad decision they made. Yeah, according to me, that's a very bad decision.
My take is that in Kenya, in as much as he may have stepped aside, I don't think that was an objective decision. What I think is that he must have received pressures from some quarters, and then Hayes was just to come and pronounce himself as if it was a voluntary act. Because as it's known, most leaders in the African context, stepping aside is not a natural issue. It must have had some stimuli external from Gosmule. So mine is to say that he must have been advised on what to say.
Well, for one, I think I'm happy for Harambee Stars because they get to start something new. I mean, it's been a long time, him being on that post, and literally we've never won as Kenyans, you know? So I think him getting out of the chair and giving the opportunity to someone else to make a better Harambee Stars.
In my reasoning, they should not upset the coach. Maybe they could just need to give a backup to the training of the Stars so that they can give us the best, but not to change the coach. Because maybe in the current day now, they are already disturbed. They don't know why they change. Maybe they and adopted the former coach. So this may affect the performance negatively. But we are hoping that the new coach will also try to cope up very quickly and then give us also good results, because we are expecting our Stars to give us the best. We want to see them in the quarters, in the semis.
Do you think this time around, do we stand a chance to reach the World Cup?
Yeah, of course we stand a chance, given that our Harambee Stars is not placed in a group of the very tough countries. So we stand a chance because we are placed well.
Their chances is like 10% of qualifying, because now the next game they are playing against Mali, and Mali, it's a very experienced team, and it's very difficult for them to win, very difficult. Because now they have changed the coach, and the new coach will be coming. He don't know who to start, who to leave out. It's just a very bad decision for me as a fan.
In your opinion, what are their chances of qualifying for the World Cup, seeing that they still have to play Mali?
Looking at it, that the first game they played within the Kenyan soil, and they drew against Uganda. Then the Rwandan one, now that they have only 2 points. And the fact that Mali has been known to be a very strong team within the African context, alongside other teams like Cameroon, Nigeria, and other West African countries, they've been known to be good footballers, to the extent that they have even foreign players in the UEFA and European countries, as compared to Kenya. So it stands slim chances, though I don't want to be a doomsayer. Any tables can be turned, but they stand slim chances of qualifying for the World Cup.
Well, I've watched a couple of games, say 1-2 of Uganda and Rwanda, and so far I can't say they are bad or good. They're in the middle. So with much effort put in the game, or someone coming with new tactics, I bet they could actually get to the World Cup. I mean, if they put serious work into it with a proper coach that knows what they're doing, I mean, they could get there.
If you are Harambee Stars coach today, you're given the role. What would you do for you to ensure that the team qualifies for the World Cup?
I know winning does not, it's not instant coffee. And what we usually see traditionally, Harambee Stars usually have heightened activities towards the World Cup qualifying or any other major cup. What I would do for them is that I would ensure that they're always on the field practicing, whether there is a major event or not, so that any time they are ready, I'll also make sure that for them to get some exposure, they have more friendly games. And also, I would fault everything that is happening with Harambee Stars to the leadership, the top leadership of KFF at the Kenyan helm. That is where all has gone wrong. Because if they get the acts right, everything from the grassroots up to the Harambee Stars level would be in good tune. So I would blame their performance on the top leadership. And also, I would make sure that their heightened activities towards preparation event, whether there is a match, be it World Cup, be it SECAFA, or whichever other form of match. And I would make sure that they are going for more friendly games to give them some more exposure than is the case. And also, we need to have incubation centers, like talent academies, from the grassroots to nurture talents at their earliest level. Looking at countries in the developed countries, those stars that we see shining are very young people. We look at Harambee Stars, the crop of players are elderly persons, and they have not been nurtured from their grassroots level. So to ensure grassroots mobilization and talent academies, so that talents are tapped at their very age, early age.
I'll just play with local players, because now they think so much about the international players, and I don't think the international players, they play a big role in the Harambee Stars team. And bringing them to the team is bringing a lot of confusion. I'll just play with the local players who they play in Kenyan Premier League. And because everyone wants to prove him is the best, the local players would be the best for Kenya to go at a high level. And that changing of coach, so bringing a lot of confusion, because a new coach comes in and the first thing he thinks, he'll just bring the international players because he thinks they're the best compared to the local players in Kenya. So Harambee Stars, there's no chance, no even 1%, there's no even chance for qualifying to the next level of qualification.
If I was a coach, I could gather information from other coaches, because we're having other clubs which are also performing very well. Even though they are not the national teams, but they have good coaches, and we can learn. I can learn from them, and also be able to correct myself where I fail. And from there, I give Kenya the best. I tell Kenyans to be patient and also to pray for our stars, and also give them energy. Maybe they can also interact with them that are they available to interact with them physically. Maybe we have the Lindas, we can speak to them. Even our president, Uhuru, even our deputy president, they can give them the energy that they need. If it's financial energy, also they can give them anything they can give them to support them and also to encourage them.
Our fellow Kenyans, I think it's high time we also come and support our very own, because the moment they get support from us, that's when they also get the motivation to, show or paint a better picture of Kenya out there.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation. Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny for more details on sports activities taking place around the world. The address once again is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And now switching gears to the English Premier League. Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane's third goal in four Premier League games ensured Liverpool cruised to a 3-0 win against Crystal Palace on Saturday. The 29-year-old pounced on a rebound at the back post in the first half to score his 100th goal for the club before Egyptian talisman Mo Salah doubled their lead. Guinean midfielder Nabi Keita's late curling strike sealed victory for the Reds. Martin Odegaard's sweetly curled first-half free-kick also earned Arsenal a 1-0 victory at Burnley, while five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo once again recorded his name on the score sheet to help Manchester United beat West Ham 2-1 to maintain the unbeaten start to the Premier League campaign. Algerian winger Said Benrahma's 30th-minute shot gave the hosts the lead before the Portuguese legend drew United level. Jesse Lingard scored a screamer in the 89th minute against his former side to seal the deal for the Red Devils. Manchester City were held to a goalless draw against a stubborn Southampton, while French midfielder of Malian descent N'Golo Kante, Thiago Silva and Antonio Rudiger's injury time winner and Chelsea deserved a 3-0 victory against Tottenham. The Blues are one of only three teams yet to lose in the Premier League this season, along with the Anfield-based Liverpool and Manchester United. Real Madrid produced a remarkable comeback at Valencia to win 2-1, thanks to goals from French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema and Vinicius Jr. Valencia had gone ahead when Spanish striker Hugo Duro drilled a precise finish into the corner, but the Los Blancos had the last laugh. Real are currently undefeated under the returning boss Carlo Ancelotti, while Valencia suffered their first defeat of the season. Barca will welcome Granada to Camp Nou on Monday, while defending champions Atletico Madrid, who trail league leaders Real Madrid by 2 points, are set to lock horns with Getafe on Tuesday. And in Germany, Erling Haaland scored twice to take his tally to 7 goals from 5 Bundesliga matches as Borussia Dortmund secured a 4-2 win against Union Berlin. Joshua Kimmich scored twice, while Leroy Sané, German striker of Ivorian descent Serge Gnabry, Robert Lewandowski and Cameroonian footballer Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting added a goal each as Bayern Munich cruised to an emphatic 7-0 victory over VfL Bochum to move to the top helm of the Bundesliga.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Moving on to Sevens rugby, it was an all-African affair, the Vancouver Sevens Cup final, as South Africa defeated Kenya 38-5 at the BC Place in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Kenya had cruised past Ireland 26-5 in the first semi-final, while powerhouse South Africa had defeated Great Britain 26-12 to storm to the main cup final. Angelo David scored a brace, with Sokoyisa Makata, Christy Grobler, Darren Adonis and Ronald Brown also adding their names on the score sheet to confirm victory for the South Africans. Daniel Taabu was Shujaa's only try scorer in the final, as the Kenyan Sevens team collected 18 points to sit second on the World Series log. The Sevens series now moves to Edmonton next weekend. And that wraps up the September 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Baru, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nesta, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.